Hello there, podcast land. This episode of the Behind the Barricade podcast is sponsored by Podcast Texts. Podcasters, do you want to expand your podcast reach to 360 million, maybe even more people? Do you want to make your podcast searchable on Google, Yahoo, even Ask Jeeves? Then look no further than Podcast Texts. You can increase your podcast reach exponentially. You can also reach the deaf and hearing impaired. They can read your podcast. It's unbelievable the amount of ways podcast text can help you. Maybe you have a few links you'd like to include. Not a problem. You can include them thanks to podcast texts. Seem too good to be true? Visit podcasttexts.com to create a more dynamic user experience for your audience today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Behind the Barricade podcast, and here are your hosts, John O'Connor and Daniel Tao.
Back. Happy 2017 for all of you listening. I am John O'Connor. Of course, I'm here with Daniel Tao, who's getting his headphones on and getting everything all squared away. Yep. So, hopefully all of you had a great Christmas, had a great New Year, great holiday season. Not too sure what you celebrate out there, but hell, hopefully it was great. So, we're here. This is actually January 2nd, and we are here with our first guest of the new year, Zachary of It Lies Within. So right now, I'm just waiting for Daniel to come back down after taking a nice little leak, and we'll be on our way. And there's Daniel. All right. Hello, Daniel. I can't hear. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. No, he's calling. Hello.
Hey, Dan, how are you?
Hey, this is actually John. Dan's about to sit down into his chair. What's going on, Zachary?
Nothing much. Nice to meet you, John.
Yeah, nice to meet you, too.
What's going on, man?
And there's Dan.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
We're good.
Doing all right. Where are you calling from?
Calling from home, actually. Flint, Michigan. Spending some good time over the holidays with some family, you know. So it's good to be home during the holidays.
Jeez, man. So is everything we hear about Flint, Michigan true, more or less?
Well, I guess it depends on what you hear.
We both had that question, John. Okay, well, I think it's top five in crime. Also, the water is complete shit up there, and apparently Obama does nothing about it, and that's why I keep hearing about it.
Well, yeah, as far as the crime rate goes, yeah, we're definitely still in the top 10, I believe. But I'm not sure if we're in top five anymore. I think it was a couple of years ago it was actually top three. That based per capita, you know, obviously population wise, just to touch on that a little bit, it's basically, you know, I say every city has their ghetto, and, you know, I've lived here my whole life and, I should say most of my life. And, you know, honestly, I don't see it being really any different than any other major city that I've visited before. Yeah, I mean, check out Austin, Texas, you know, I mean, places like that. I mean, it's just the same thing. At the same time, you know, you know what areas to avoid and yeah, which areas, you know, are good. You know, and as far as the water goes, yeah, I mean, we've been having this water problem for a lot longer than people, you know, I actually know about. It's been an epidemic for some time now, and even longer than probably half of us know. I'm thankful that me and most of my family aren't directly affected by it, but I do have, you know, friends and obviously their families that are. And, you know, it's not fun taking showers and baths and bottled water and cooking everything with bottled water, you know, every day, just because you don't know what's going on. And, you know, I don't know if you want to necessarily blame at Obama fully, but I would just simply say that, you know, there's definitely some government issues, whether it's more interior, more statewide, or whoever it is that's got to do something. It's just that something definitely needs to change.
Yeah. And the only reason I bring up Obama is because I hear like all Fox News people, oh, Obama doesn't do shit, and MSNBC, oh, Obama does everything, you Republicans suck. And it's just literally a fucking tennis match back and forth.
Oh, absolutely. And it'll never end, you know?
No, especially these next upcoming 4 years.
But, we're definitely in for an interesting roller coaster ride. That's for sure.
Yeah. So if you think the mainstream media is at like a peak now, just wait 1 year in, and I'm sure like there's. I love the whole like fake news thing, like the whole Pizzagate scandal and like all these things that, you know, these mainstream outlets are saying that happened but didn't really happen.
What was the deal with that Pizzagate thing anyway?
It was something, I'm not 100% sure about it, but I think it ended with some guy actually going into a pizzeria because apparently there was a rumor about, I want to say sex slaves in there, in the back of the pizzeria or in the basement. What? It was something weird like that.
Yeah, it's crazy. I didn't hear that.
Yeah, look it up. I mean, obviously I did a piss poor job of explaining it, but it was something as ridiculous as that.
That's nuts. Yeah, the media definitely serves its purpose to just kind of brainwash people in whatever way they want, you know. Thank God there's some real news coming through, but for the most part, I think it's more about how fast you can get the news out there, not how true it is.
Yeah. And that's the problem, because they never fact-checked anything. I mean, they could go and say, this so-and-so happened, and this happened, and then you come to realize, like, no, wait a second, that didn't happen at all. What the hell? And, you know, a lot of people eat it up because a lot of people are stupid. Let's be fucking honest here.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people like to live through other people's lies, or you know, they like to follow the trend, per se. You know, so if someone says, you know, this is cool or this is the way things should be, just some people like to follow suit, you know. I think that's the one cool thing about music, you know, in a sense, though, is that, you know, it's a language that speaks to everybody. You know, it's kind of in its own world that everybody can kind of share the same common thing, regardless of what it's about or regardless of necessarily the type of music it is. It's the fact that, like, everybody recognizes sound. And, you know, I think, honestly, people could use music to actually make a little bit more of a difference, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And speaking about music, let's touch into your band. So you're going out on a European tour in less than a month. How fucking awesome does that sound?
Right on, man. Yeah, dude, we're really, really excited to it'll be our first tour across the pond over there. October of 2015, we did have the opportunity to hit up Japan for a week. And I mean, you know, that was mind-blowing, to say, you know, the least. But after that trip, you know, everything's just kind of been working out for us, you know, slowly but surely, keeping our nose to the grindstone, you know what I mean? And yeah, this awesome opportunity popped up for us, especially to go over there with our friends in the Browning as well, who's you know, an electronic metal band who does very well over there. So to be able to go over there and support them, it just definitely works out. It makes a lot of sense for us, you know, and it's just another kind of, I'd say, a stepping stone in our career, per se, because it just breaks that plateau you kind of get into, which is really, really easy to get stuck in this industry today.
Now, do you actually go on a lot of tours? I mean, I'm just thinking for, like, local bands or bands that are not really signed. And to hear a band say that they're going overseas, you think that they'd be, like, you know.
Well, talk about the first time that they went overseas, because they're signed right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, like, for instance, like, you got how many tours do you do a year?
This year we're going to be going on a little over 160 shows. So I think we did 5 tours this year, to be honest. We're actually getting ready to just kind of get all our numbers together, because we want to do the whole post of, this is everything we did last year, you know, let's make it better this year, you know. But yeah, definitely It Lies Within is no stranger to touring. Anybody that knows who we are knows that we're just a touring, you know, band, like maniacs, basically. I mean, that's just what we do. Some people take a different approach. They kind of sit around and wait for more of the marketing, publicity, maybe just more or less going back to what I said of waiting around for opportunities. That's not what this band does, you know. Coming from Flint, Michigan, being a blue collar, you know, family, I almost, you know, that's what this band is a family. And, you know, honestly, we just hit the road, man. That's what's important to us, is to get out there and reach as many people as we can, whether it's one fan at a time or, you know, 500 at a time. And to us, we love performing. We love playing. So, yeah, man, we like to play shows, man. We like to see everybody out there.
Well, isn't that how you make most of your money, is touring?
Well, yeah, these days, you know what I mean, with record deals and stuff like that, and definitely not shaming anybody or any record labels for that matter, mm-hmm. But just simply speaking, you know, anybody that knows anything about the game is, you know, most record sales these days and things like that go straight to the label. So in order for a band to survive, you have to be out playing shows and selling merchandise. Certainly the performance pay for artists these days are just detrimentally, you know, lower than they were just even 10 years ago, let alone 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and now with streaming becoming such a big part of it, and not only streaming, but now live, you know, going live streaming, as far as video goes, I mean, you're going to be having people that are going to be like sitting on their couch paying for concerts now. And, you know, yeah. And that's it's a sad reality of where it's going, to be honest with you. As much as I love technology and I think it's really cool, I think it's taking away from that experience. And again, using music to bring people together, not separate them.
Yeah, they're called 360 deals.
That's ridiculous. It's like the only way a band makes their money, you're starting to dip into that now with newer bands. It's crazy.
And the funny part about that whole thing is that some bands actually have to buy their own records from the record label. So let's take...
didn't they say that they now own all their stuff?
Well, yeah, they own their masters. But I'm saying like going out on tour, like a band, like a smaller band, has to go to the record company and say, okay, I want 100 CDs of our latest album, and they'll give it to them for a discount rate, maybe like $2 or $3 each, and then they have to do the markup to $10. But the fact that you have to buy your own music in order to sell it, that's just fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, you know, and there's all kinds of deals out there. Obviously, you know, everything is situational. You know, every single contract with every single band is mm-hmm. different. And but yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, as much as you know, the artists are hurting, of course, the labels are, and the labels and the people that are in the higher up, they're definitely going to come up with new ways to create revenue. You know what I'm saying? And, yeah, you know, like I said, everything's situational. We've been fortunate enough to have a great relationship with our label. And, you know, even though they aren't the hugest label out there, it's more or less, you know, how they take care of you, how they treat you, and how good the contract is for that matter. And again, you know, we're very, very lucky and thankful to have, you know, Luxor Records behind our back. And, you know, pretty much, you know, a label can pretty much be almost looked at as a bank. You know what I mean? It's a loan facility.
Definitely.
You know, it's a loan facility, and I think it's really cool that they're out there to help bands and help bands that are in need, because, you know, let's be honest, a lot of musicians, they don't start off rich, let alone do half of them ever become even successful for that matter. But you know what I mean? It's at the same time, it's almost created, you know, an avenue for bands to continue to DIY it, you know, and there's ways around it. If you have the marketing capabilities, if you have the financial backing to do it on your own, it's almost a smarter play these days, you know. But again, everything is situational, everything's different.
Yeah, and I think we were talking to the band Allegiant on a podcast, and the one guy was like, oh yeah, we really would like to tour all the time, because we were asking about like side jobs and stuff, and he was just like, basically, yeah, if we don't tour, we don't make any money. And he was like, we would like to tour all, you know, every day possible to make money, but it's just not possible. They have to find, at least for smaller bands like that, which are, you know, maybe in a different genre that's not as popular, but they basically have to tour, and then when they're not touring, they have to have some kind of side job. I just think, when you look at a musician that's touring band, you don't think that. You don't think when they come home they have side jobs or have to work at like a construction store. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You don't think?
Oh yeah, no, I totally. I completely understand. You know, the funny thing is, you know, I just read a little article the other day on, I can't quite remember which member it is, but a member of Slipknot, you know, owns his own like painting company, for God's sake. I mean, you would think how successful that band is, and maybe he doesn't fully have to, but he does, you know, and he does, and it doesn't matter at what level you're at. I mean, I'm sure there's some kind of investments or some kind of fun you know, thing that obviously these people also end up doing. Again, I don't know if they really, I guess, need it to survive, but I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't, you know. I really wouldn't.
Yeah, that could be it.
Like having your own business is just like, it's just good for taxes and stuff like that. So, I mean, you would think Slipknot, they make enough money that they just need it for that purpose, or they want to have their own business, because Slipknot is not necessarily like having their own business.
Yeah, but then you look at that band and you're seeing them headline arenas and selling out places all around the world. They're headlining Download Fest over in England. They're headlining basically everywhere. And the fact that, you know, one of its members still needs a side job, more or less. I don't know if they need it or not, but
I don't know if he needs it. How big compared to Disturbed do you think they are?
I think they're the same level.
Dude, if you look at pictures of the band members in Disturbed and their Instagram and their houses, they don't need side jobs.
Oh, yeah, their houses are insane.
I mean, I'm not going to say they're like huge mansions of football or basketball players, but, you know, they're pretty decent.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like Zachary said, it could all depend on the deal and stuff like that. I mean, Slipknot's on Roadrunner, and I'm not too sure which one Disturbed's on, but, you know. I think, isn't Roadrunner a subdivision of Warner?
I don't know. I could have sworn they did their own, too. Like, one of their records was done by themselves. I don't know the gist of all that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, the cool thing is, you know, once you kind of get to a level as well, is that you get to create other side projects of income, even doing music still. For example, they offer lessons, or half of them own recording studios and produce now, or half of them own management agencies or booking agencies, or, you know, they have some other avenue in the industry that they're creating income from. So, you know, it's not like they don't still have other jobs, but it still may be within the industry. But, you know, they're using their ability and success from their project to create other, you know, avenues of revenue, which is really cool.
Is it rocking out to Slipknot with the band member of Slipknot painting your house?
Yeah, right? Or,
Suckle Social, fuck yeah, man.
now paint that crevice over there. Fuck yeah, spit it out!
You missed a spot over there.
Yeah. Wait, can you put this on, please, so we can put this on the mask?
Yeah.
Yeah,
if you think performing on stage with the mask is tough, imagine painting in a fucking 100 degrees out with that mask on. Oof.
But. Yeah, man, those guys definitely got something great going for them, man. It's really, really cool to see them continue on and just to see a band like that, you know, grow just from where they were, you know, the whole idea of it to where they are, man. It's really inspiring, really cool. Yeah,
it definitely
is, man. You know, you put nine guys in crazy masks on stage, beating the heck out of each other, you know, saying some hooky ass stuff, man. I mean, you're gonna get the metalheads going, you know.
Yeah, and it's funny that you mentioned that. I'm going to talk about an opener of a couple Slipknot tours that you might have heard of, King 810.
Yeah, absolutely. They're from the Flint Town area here.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned it, and I think they just got onto like the actual news for, I think, their whole shtick is like they're from the ghetto area of Flint, Michigan, and like they're hardened and stuff like that. And they also have what appears to be gang members on stage with like guns. I don't know if it's real or fake, but they try to do, I want to somewhere in maybe Detroit or maybe actually Flint. I'm not too sure. And they actually canceled the show because they wouldn't let any guns in.
I heard about that. I heard about that through the grapevine. You know, I wish nothing but success for those guys. They got a cool little niche thing going. You know, I don't really have much comment on the band at all. You know, I just wish everybody success and people that work hard, you know, hey man, they deserve whatever they get, man.
Absolutely. So I think we both have the same feeling about King 810, but let's not go there.
As long as nobody gets shot, I'm okay with it.
Yeah. I mean, not speaking for, you know, Behind the Barricade or you, Zachary, but I saw them open up for Korn and Slipknot, I think, like 2 or 3 years ago, and goddamn, that was goddamn awful. I'm not even going to lie to you. I mean, for like, their whole gimmick is, you know, cool and unique, and maybe people have said the same thing about Slipknot when they first started off, but, you know, nothing resonated with me. I know a few people that actually like that kind of stuff. But the funny part is I do some, like, I'm a part of the road crew for Roadrunner Records. And I'd say about maybe 90% of their marketing is about King 810. So, yeah, I'm not too sure exactly why. I mean, obviously they're Yeah, that's what I'm guessing. You know, they're a newer band. They obviously need the marketing, but like some of the stuff that I'm getting is like, other than posters, I got like a stencil that actually said fucking, but the FUC in the first part were like lowercase, and then the King at the end was capitalized. I'm like, this is pretty cool, but why the hell would I ever use like spray paint on a wall with that?
Yeah. Like I said, man, I mean, they've got a niche going for them, you know, and to see, you know, anybody get recognition coming out of, you know, Michigan, in the music industry, let alone Flint, my hometown, you know, it's just really cool to see. You know, those guys, you know, like I said, I don't really know too much about them. I mean, I know I have friends that are really close with them and stuff like that. I just don't know much about them, you know what I mean? And we're just kind of more focused on what it is that we do. And they focus on them, man. Like I said, I wish them the best of success.
Yeah. And that's the only thing you can say about it. So, I mean, let's get back to It Lies Within. So getting back to that European tour and you being the lead vocalist, I'm seeing that you have like basically almost two and a half weeks of no actual like off dates on this upcoming tour. So do you look forward to that, or are you just like, oh fuck, my vocals are gonna be fried?
Well, I'll be honest, like if it was here in the States, I wouldn't have any worry about it. I don't know how, knock on wood. I mean my routine, you know, and everything that I do, I prepare myself as well as I can, and I happen to perform pretty well on the tour. It's kind of funny, I'll actually talk worse than I can actually scream or sing, you know, midway through. You can tell it in my talking voice, but not in my singing voice by any means. But I would say it's a little different of a feeling, you know, kind of going into a different atmosphere, different environment, different country, different languages every day. You know, I mean, we're going to a different country practically every day. So, you know, it's going to be a lot coming at us, you know, but I think with us having the opportunity to go to Japan, at least it's cool that we've had a little bit of experience. It's just kind of had that culture shock, and to kind of, you know what I mean, have that, I think that little feeling will go away really, really quick. So, you know, no, as far as my vocal cords go, I'm not too concerned of it. I'm just more excited, man. More excited about it.
He wakes up, he doesn't talk to anybody until he drinks water. He doesn't drink any coffee. He'll have sometimes hot tea, but he'll drink a lot of water, like I said. Do you have anything like that where you're like regimented, or you say screw it, eat whatever you want and just go out there and sing?
Yeah, I mean, I have a regiment. It's definitely nowhere near as, you know, serious as that. And you know, nothing against Red, because I love that band. I just think that really, unless you're on a level of like, you know, multi-million, just selling out arenas, like there's really no need to really like halt your life to that point. But hey man, props to him for doing that. I really do give him props for having that, you know, mentality to do that. You know, mine's fairly simple. I use a organic tea called Throat Coat. I mean, you can simply go pick it up at Walmart. Most singers and vocalists know all about it. And I'll do that with some honey, pretty much about a half hour, if not an hour, before I go on. And then I have just a simple warm-up routine that I do from a vocal warm-up coach that a lot of people also know, named Melissa Cross. It's the Zena Screaming. See, some people love her, some people don't.
She's based in New York, right?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Man. And she's really, really cool. I like her routines, and I just use her warm-up routines. And, you know, my other vocalist, my clean vocalist, Eric, and I will both go through them. And then we'll even just do like another, you know, I'll kind of sing with him just a line or two of like his lines in our songs to kind of just get to where we got to get. And, you know, that's pretty much it. So about 30 minutes, 45 minutes, you know, before our set, that's when the focus kind of sets in. and we'll start going through it, drinking that tea.
I know John likes to use the NOS for warm-ups.
Yeah, I love the NOS energy drinks for whatever reason. Just like basically it tears up my throat in a good way. I mean, I've done mostly screaming in bands, and I just find that every time I polish off a NOS, like right before I go on, A, I get the jitters, and B, you know, it just has that certain like, hurrah! Like it really bring it just, I don't know, it like amplifies my vocals for whatever reason.
Yeah, well, so, you know, some, you know, I mean, there's just some like, you know, substances that do throat, they just coat the throat to a point to where you can get that certain growl or that guttural, you know what I mean, going a little bit better. I mean, there's certain times of the day where my scream is just better. There's certain positions, whether I'm, you know, if I'm hunched over or if I'm standing straight up or if I don't have my leg on a stomp muster monitor as opposed to not, you know, definitely there's a lot of little things that can, you know, can just help the tiniest bit. And, you know, anybody that's ever seen it live within live videos or our live show, I mean, know that we're definitely not ones to stand still on stage. So, you know, trying to just, pulling all the cardio that we do, man, it's definitely a little more difficult. But you know, being an asthmatic, I love it because it's honestly it's my workout. You know what I mean? And it's pretty cool because throughout the years of touring, I've gotten substantially better health wise and breathing wise just basically from playing a whole bunch of shows. So you know, there's a lot of cool things that come from it as well.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously different vocalists have different patterns and stuff like that. You know, some people require two days of shows and then 2 days off, like starting off, and people like going 6 days straight before an off day. It obviously just, you know, it's on each vocalist. So, I mean,
if I had a choice, I would say, I mean, if I had a choice, I wouldn't mind a 1 day off a week, you know, which is typically when we tour in the States, it's typically a Monday. You know, in our tours that we'll take off just because that's normally the slowest day for shows. And, you know, so, you know, if I had my way, I guess, yeah. You know, I wouldn't mind taking off every Monday, but you know, on most of the tours that we do, they're normally, you know, an average of 16 to 21 days. And, we normally only get about 1 day off in that time frame, and that seems to be enough, you know, I do fine. But yeah, I guess for me so much, I wouldn't mind one more day off. Just to even catch up back in with life. When you're on the road, you know, you're just constantly people do think that you have all this time to just kind of jerk off and lay around and do a whole bunch of nothing when it's really the complete opposite. It's not like Motley Crue back in the day anymore, you know, where you just kind of have everyone doing everything for you. I mean, you know, the bands are hands on, you know, they're doing most of the work themselves these days. I mean, we're thankful to have the crew that we do, but you know, at the same time, it's still a, you know, an all day thing, you know, it's an all day job from about 10 in the morning till 2 at night at least. So, you know, we love it, man. I wouldn't trade it for the world, I'll tell you that.
Hell yeah. It's better than a normal, you know, 9-to-5 routine job and stuff like that. So, I mean, more power to you if you could do it. It's great. But I actually want to get into your Indiegogo account, and I think this is pretty cool, like, what you're doing. So, basically, the headline is Help It Lies Within to Get to Europe for the Big Tour Opportunity. You guys are currently, at this moment, $1,639 raised by 26 backers, which is awesome. And the one unique thing I've seen is you're raffling off a 55-inch Sharp smart television.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, you know, yeah. I mean, I guess, first of all, you know what I mean? I have to be honest when I'm saying, you know, we're humbled by the fact that, you know, that we even have to ask for help, you know what I'm saying? Basically we're just in transition right now, with the band, as far as just where we're at with our label. You know, we're currently actually done with our contract with Lutzel right now. Not that we don't still represent or love them, and not that we're still not working mm-hmm. together,
yeah.
But as of right now, we're in transition right now. So we're just kind of trying to take a step in the right direction as far as, you know, trying to ask our fans, you know, just for a little bit of help. But at the same time, we're not asking for stuff. We're not just asking for people to give stuff to us. For example, like a Kickstarter's car or what is it? GoFundMe for that matter. Yeah. But you know, we're trying to provide these awesome things. So basically what we did is we said, hey, you know, we have some money, let's invest it into some cool prizes. And then let's give these people incentives to try to drive this thing. And let's see what we can do, you know. And, you know, we're definitely a little short of our goal right now. But, man, I'll be honest, I'm just happy with where we're at right now. And it's by far worked in our benefit. So, man, we just want to say thank you to everybody who's helped out. And, you know, and we got actually 1 week left from today that's still going on. And for $5 to put your name into a chance to win a brand new awesome TV, man, that's not too shabby.
Yeah, that is badass. And like you said, a lot of bands go out there and be like, oh, yeah, we're poor, give me money, without no real incentive. But, I mean, you guys are doing, like, for only $10, you get an autographed poster, a vinyl sticker, some custom guitar picks, and a raffle entry. So basically the raffle entry is $5. So for another $5, you get actual tangible items from It Lies Within. And it goes all the way up into, like, a $1,000 package. Which, you know, it's, you could pick any member of the band for 30-minute private lessons, and it includes a Sony PlayStation 4, not to mention 20 raffle tickets. I mean, how fuck? Exactly. This is what bands should do. Give an incentive for people to go and spend money on you.
Yeah, man, I really appreciate that, guys. And that's one thing, again, that It Lies Within just really tries to do, is we just try to come up with different approaches at things, you know what I mean? By no means have we ever asked, you know, our fans just directly for money or for anything. But, you know, we do feel like, you know, this cause is worth it. Just A, for the incentives that you're going to get, just straight up for the incentives, it makes sense. But B, I mean, you know, we're a band that has a positive message, and we get a chance to go take that over to Europe. You know what I mean? I get to go scream positive things at people from across the country. And, you know, I don't think maybe that's a bad thing, you know, represented the United States right now. So, you know, let's get a kick-ass band over there to go do some cool stuff, man, you know, and at the same time, you know, have a chance to win some cool shit.
Yeah. And like I said before, you're going out with the Browning and also Blessing a Curse. And I know of Blessing a Curse. I haven't listened to them, but I know your style meshes extremely well with the Browning. You got that electronic, hardcore, like death metal type of sound to it. The only difference is you guys have the clean vocals, which I don't think the Browning does, do they?
I believe they have very minimal.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty much the significant difference, you know. They're more, I would say, they're definitely more electronically based than we are. I would say we are still more, like, more instrumentally based.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
With the electronics kind of more, you know, adding, you know, and just adding too. But I think it's really cool what they have. We're really, really good friends with those guys. Johnny actually did a guest vocal track on our latest album, Paramount. So go check that out. It's called Depths of Struggle. So, I mean, we're definitely really close with those guys, man. Love their stuff. Love their new album. So make sure to go check them out as well.
Hell yeah. And it's, you basically hit the nail on the head right there. I mean, like you said, they're more instrumental based, or I'm sorry, they're more electronic based, because, like, you listen to a Browning song and the first thing you hear is, like, the electronic track, the dun, 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 and then kicks in with the band. While you guys just throw it in for, like, a little flavor. I mean, both of them work very well, but, like, there's two distinct sounds. So, I mean, for people over in Europe, this is one fuck of a tour. Definitely go out. I know we have some listeners over in the England area. I'm not too sure anywhere else. So if you can, head over there or tell your friends in Paris and Denmark and everywhere else you're heading up. I mean, you know, it's not every day that a band can go over to Europe and go for, like, a month straight in touring. You know, Like you guys have the Indiegogo thing. It cost a shit ton of money, shit ton of time. I'm pretty sure that, you know, a couple of you maybe have, like, side jobs that you... It's kind of hard to say, hey, I need a month off to tour Europe. So.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And just to touch a little bit on that as well, as we're actually announcing, I believe, the end of this week, if not early next week, an additional week that'll be actually United Kingdom dates as well. So.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, so we'll be over there from February 2nd to I believe March 4th or 5th. And so make sure everybody stay tuned to the Facebook page for that, as well as a lot of cool other announcements that are coming up, man. We have a big year ahead of us, and we're really excited.
Hell yeah, and that's facebook.com/itlieswithin, and that's basically every single one of your tags. So basically twitter.com/itlieswithin. The only thing is the Instagram is instagram.com/itlieswithinofficial. So I have to ask, who has It Lies Within on Instagram?
Right. Yeah, basically they need to go get the, I think a fan of ours possibly got it. Kind of just what happens, you know, some kind of fan just grabs it. And besides trying to write, you know, write Instagram, cause a stink about it, which, you know, we could have. We just said, you know, screw it. It's not that big of a deal. If a fan is just so happy to go ahead and do that and create it, that's cool. But then you go and check in it, and there's really no activity on it. So it's just kind of lingering out there in cyberspace.
Yeah.
You know, at this point in our career, for us to change it would be a lot more work than to just keep what we have. So, you know, we can stay official on that one.
Yeah. And plus, you could just go to itlieswithin.com. Easy enough, people. Just go there. You have all the contact information. Also, you have all the Facebook posts and then the tweets and then the Instagram on the right-hand side. So it's basically one-stop shopping.
Yeah, yeah, and I always encourage everybody just to simply go to Google too, or whatever your search page is. Just type in "It Lies Within." You'll get a couple pages of fun stuff. You know, we've been at it for some time now, and for those of you that haven't heard of us before, you know, we just urge you to go take a look, man. There's some pretty cool stuff out there. We're really fun. We got a lot of documentary videos on YouTube, a lot of stuff to kind of bring you into the world of touring and bring you into the world of It Lies Within, man. So definitely go check it out.
Yeah, absolutely. And you guys are closing in on 10 years as a band, right? So you started in 2008?
Yeah, yeah. You know, and that's just kind of when we started, you know what I mean? Just coming up with ideas and kind of dinking around. You know, when people ask me, you know, how long have you guys really been a band? I say 5 years, you know, when I really put it down, because that's how long we've been hitting the road, hitting the pavement, kind of, you know, signed the record deal, put out an actual CD worth of crap, you know, and really took it tried to take it to that next level, and things have worked out, man. I can only be so thankful for you know, where we've gotten from where we've started, and you know, like I said, man, the roller coaster is only going up from here, man. So you know, 2017 is going to be a big year for us, and I can't wait to share it with everybody.
Hell yeah. So do you have things planned already for 2017 other than the European tour that you can
maybe— Oh yeah, we definitely have stuff. Obviously not much I can really reveal. The cool things I can talk about right now is just that we are currently in the studio working on new music. We actually have a single that's almost already done, and we're going to be releasing a single. We're trying to maybe get one out there before we head over to Europe, but no promises on that. But we definitely have new music in the works, so we want everybody to go ahead and get excited about that, because we definitely know that this is the best material and work that's coming out of this band. You know, with our lineup and the members that we have now that have been about over 2 years strong, I call it the dream team, you know, yeah. And we're really, this is the first time that we've all gelled on a project, and it's just going so well. So yeah, keep your eyes out for new music. And again, man, we want to encourage you guys to stay glued to that Facebook page. You know, we are a very, very, very active social media band. So, you know, talk to us, come say hi. We answer back. So, you know, let's hang out. Let's be friends.
Yeah. And it pays off too, because you guys have 86,000 likes on Facebook, where, you know, a lot of bands out there that get signed initially maybe have like 10,000. I think like once you pass, what was it, like about 10,000, would you say, Dan?
I would say that one band that just got signed to Metal Blade, they had like 3,000.
Yeah. So they must know someone. But I mean, like, if you don't have a strong social media sense in this day and age, you're really not going to make it as a band.
Yeah, yeah, and I completely agree, you know, and the thing is, it's even harder for bands these days than it was a couple of years ago. Every year, I mean, every month, like, it seems like Facebook's coming up with something, or these sites to make it more difficult for bands to reach their fan base. I remember,
yeah.
Well, exactly, you know, I remember just 2 years ago, you know, there was no such thing as boosting a post number one, let alone we were reaching about probably 50% of our fan base, which we were only at maybe, let's say, 50 or 40,000 at that point, you know what I mean? And we were actually reaching more people, to where now, yeah, sure, we have double the amount of likes on the page of people that have clicked it, but that doesn't necessarily mean that interaction is any better. And it's because simply that we're not reaching our fans because of Facebook becoming a business, you know, yeah. And them buying Instagram, you know, and so forth. You know, it of course it's getting a lot harder out there, you know, but by no means, you know the, you know, people need to take a look at the likes, and also need to, you know, take a look at how long of a band, you know, we've been around. You know, sure, we have 80,000 likes, but it's not like we got that overnight. You know, we've had a Facebook page, like you said, I think for about 8 or almost 9 years now. And, you know, that's one fan at a time, you know, over a long span. So when you look at it, it's definitely, again, it's every bit of it is so authentic and genuine. And we're so thankful for that.
Yeah, the 10% rule that Facebook currently uses.
And let's be honest, it's not even 10% anymore.
Yeah.
backwards.
Yeah, it's way less than that. Yeah, but that's what they claim. Well, that's what they claim, and then they're like, "Yeah, here for only $10, you could actually get this post to be seen by all of the people that actually like your page and no one else." You're like, "Wait a second! So everyone is liking our page, and in the grand scheme of things, they're missing out on half to maybe three quarters of the posts."
Yeah, and there's also a setting I noticed too that you like. Let's say you really like It Lies Within. You have to go in your settings and say, "I want to see this first."
Yeah, so
if it's not, it might be last.
Or a following option, you know, there's
a following too, yeah.
Yep, which helps again, yeah, to see first. That's the best way to go about it, and you know, to try to sit there and explain and make posts to bother fans to do all that stuff is again, it's more of a headache, you know, and by no means, you know, is It Lies Within one of those bands that just wants to constantly cram that down our fans' throats, you know what I mean? We just want to reach people with our music and our message, you know what I mean? And we want to make it as easy as possible for us to just try to interact with these people. And so what we've done is we've just kind of opened up the gates to our personal pages, which is kind of hectic at times, but you know, we've opened up those gates and it's really funny to see that some of our member posts, you know, including mine, will get more interaction than our band posts. And it just blows my mind, you know?
Yeah, that is the worst. But until they start regulating the personal posts, that's basically what bands are doing. Either that or like the groups. There's nothing worse than, let's say, adding a band member like yourself and, you know, just having you automatically add us to a group. I mean, obviously you don't do that or anything, but like the people that do it and you don't even realize you're added half the time. And then you're seeing it's like 15, 20,000 people in one group. And you're like, wait a second, what? I never joined this shit.
Yeah, now you're just allowed to add people to these random groups, and then you get all these notifications. And yeah, again, it's just stuff like that. It just kind of, I mean, it bothers us all, you know what I mean? But, you know, business is business, and I get that, but it's about how you handle your business, you know? And, you know, again, I think being in a band, I think just some bands, you know, just don't lose focus on what comes first, and that should be the music, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, but... again, in this day where, you know, the average fan, let's say a 15 or 16 year old boy, girl, whatever you want to call it, they have the attention span of maybe like 30 seconds. So if you don't catch their attention in 30 seconds with like basically every single song you do, there's a great chance they're going to go, okay, click, done. Okay, now it's time for me to watch someone play video games. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, you know, and that's why, I mean, to be honest, it's almost a challenge, you know what I mean? And we love it, man. We accept it. We appreciate it. And it helps us just be better and create better music, you know? And again, you know, with our new music that is getting ready to come out, and even with our last album, Paramount, which I just loved so much. I mean, you can definitely get lost in a couple of tunes on there. So, you know, it's just, it's about getting the word out there to the right people. And we're just so thankful for our support system and all our fans who have had our back over the year. And, you know, we definitely want to welcome anybody and everybody to come join along as well.
Yeah, absolutely. But I don't know, it's a weird world, this whole music thing. It changes basically every year. So when you're like, okay, I definitely have a hold of it now. And in like another year, it's like, okay, now it's time for VR concerts where people don't even have to leave their house and they just look around in their front row to every show. And you're like, wait a second, we just perfected Facebook Live. We just perfected YouTube Live. And, you know, it's ever changing, which is great for the fan, but it's absolutely a nightmare for bands out there. So,
yeah, and you know, big props to the managers that are able to take care of that stuff, and even bigger props to the actual bands that do it themselves.
Yeah, so it's not an easy world, but it's ever changing. So, right before we let you go, I want to actually ask you, where did you get the idea to do a cover for Victorious by Panic at the Disco?
Well, honestly, I mean, it's always in the back of our head, just to kind of do some cover songs. I mean, we're honestly big fans of all the, you know, punk goes pop covers and all the cool things that they put out there.
Yeah.
Some are done really, really awesome. Some are done, you know, not so
awesome.
Good, but, but you know, the ones that are good are just really good. You know, and, so we've always been just kind of like in the back of our head, you know, while touring and just sitting in the tour van, driving these long drives, you know, been trying to come up with ideas. We've actually recorded some other songs, but it just didn't work out for us as far as we wanted to do a song that kind of molded with our sound, or that would at least allow us to put our twist on it So it wasn't just kind of a you know, copy paste kind of a thing. So Kyle and I actually, our guitarist Kyle and I were you were just in the gym one day while he was here before we were on tour, and it came on, you know, the Panic at the Disco song came on, and it's on the mainstream radio, you know, in the gym, everybody's listening to it. And I don't know, it just kind of clicked in my head, and I mentioned it to Kyle. I was like, dude, we should do this song, like, listen to the beat. And he was like, yeah. And Kyle's the producer of the band. He's the one who does our pre-pros and the recording and has the means and the knowledge to do all that fun stuff. So he went home, you know, after tour. He lives in North Carolina, and he went home and cracked it out, man. And I'll tell you what, just the bass line of it was so awesome. We all ran with it, and I'm really happy how it came out, let alone the song. But the video was also really fun to shoot.
Yeah, and like you said, you know, not even counting Punko's Pop and all those other things. I mean, there's a lot of good covers out there. There's a lot of great covers, which I will definitely put this into the great covers, because I love it when it's not, you know, it's not the same song and then you just throw some screaming over it. I mean, you literally made it your own. I mean, you actually took a little bit from the original song, had it in there as like an intro, and then it kicks right in. And, you know, you really made it your own, and that I do have to applaud you on, because a lot of people just go, okay, I know this chord pattern. We're just going to do this, and it's a, you know, carbon copy cover. Exactly. Yeah. So you made it your own. You know, you didn't just copy off of Panic at the Disco. You made it into a It Lies Within track.
I mean, they both work. You know, like that Subdivision's cover by Allegiant.
It works.
Yeah. No. And I appreciate that, guys. We definitely, like I said, that was just the main focus for us to do it. That if we did do it, we wanted it to represent us and not just kind of a, you know, a marketing tool or just like a silly thing. You know, we actually had fun recording that song. We had fun reworking that song, and we had even more fun shooting the video for it.
Yeah. So I also have to ask, what were some of the rejected cover songs that just didn't work out? I would love to know that.
Well, you know, I don't necessarily want to say that they're rejected yet.
Well, the ones that didn't quite work out.
Yeah. But you know, and as much as maybe I shouldn't give them away, I will. We were going to do Take On Me by Aha.
Oh, okay.
And that we're still working on that. We want to do a classic rock song. That's really important to us, to kind of bring back something from, you know, more classical, to kind of just, you know, I think it's important to always go back and touch your roots. I think it's always important to kind of go back and hear where some of this music came from in the first place, you know. So that's important for us to kind of go back and touch on. So that was one of them. We also did, we tried to do a Bruno Mars song.
24 Karat?
Nope, it was the one before that. Some heaven, something with heaven in it. I can't
locked
remember.
Out of heaven.
Yeah, you got it. Yep. That's it. Yep. So and you know, that one was coming along pretty good, but the fact that that song has kind of a ska beat, yeah, it's just, it's hard to get around that ska beat and make it sound good. And we definitely don't want to do the same thing again, like I was touching on earlier. Yeah. So. But yeah, man, we definitely put a little time into having some fun with some songs. And we had done some previous, we did a Eminem and Rihanna cover song, Love the Way You Lie, which was the first one we did back in our early days of our career. I think we have a whole new lineup except for Matt and I with that one. But yeah, that was a fun one that we did, obviously just representing Detroit and Michigan, you know what I'm saying? You know, we just got to have fun with it. Cover songs are a fun thing, but, you know, the heart lies within, you know, obviously our own material. And we think it's super cool that, you know, like I said, people across the pond, you know our lyrics, know our band, know who we are. The best feeling is seeing a group of fans singing your lyrics back at you. There's literally no other feeling in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's great that you are focusing mainly on your original music, which all bands should. But, you know, I compare cover songs to, like, heroin. Of course, it starts feeling good once you do it, like, once or twice, and then, you know, people start knowing it. And then people would want more cover songs. And then next thing you know, you're turning into a cover band, and no one gives a shit about your original music. And you're like, wait a second, what's going on here?
Yeah, no, you know, I mean, I completely, you know, it's just, I don't want to call it which songs, but yeah, we could touch on a couple definitely on some of the, you know, Punk Goes Pop, albums that are just so horrendous. I like to give people praise when they do well. And I'll say one band that has done amazing is this band called Our Last Night. And they've put out probably put out anywhere from 5 to 10 covers within the last year. And this band has been successful on their own before this. They have gained so much success from these covers. But man, I want to give them just some praise. Like I said, they do it so well.
I am actually currently wearing an Our Last Night shirt.
Well, there you go, man. So, you know, those guys are amazing. And I think it's really cool, again, to see bands do their own thing, you know, and those guys do the exact same thing. So definitely big props to those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, they're a strange band because they originally sounded like a regular metalcore, post-hardcore band. And then they basically changed everything up into a more alternative rock sound. And it's funny, you actually see that progression with some of the covers too. Like their first cover that they put out was, I believe, Hello by Adele. That's what basically sparked everything. And now they just put something out. I think they did a Chainsmokers cover not too long ago. And it's like, wait a second, this is the same band?
Right. Yeah, you know, and you're starting to see that a lot with some bands. And then you see some bands reverting back to their old stuff. For example, you see, you know, Bring Me the Horizon. Look at where that band started. And then into where they sound now. You know, I'm not knocking it at all. That's one band that actually, in my opinion, have done it successfully. I love their first album and I love their latest album. You know, I think they've done an awesome job doing it. But that's very, very rare circumstance. You know what I mean? And then you have bands, like I said, that I think that are starting to revert back to the old stuff, which again is a benefit in my eyes, like Korn, for example, Metallica's latest album.
Yeah.
You know, it's like everybody's been waiting for it, you know, and because they were changing, in my opinion, and again, this is my sole opinion, they had tried to change to do more mainstream things and trendy things I just don't think ever worked for them. And I'm just so happy to see them back to playing what made them them.
Yeah, and, you know, it was for a while that Metallica turned into, like, a hard rock band, and you're like, okay, they really, basically, I hate using the term, but they sold out, blah, blah, blah. Like, the whole Load and Reload albums, you're like, this is not the same band. But thankfully, they came out with their latest album, Hardwired to Self-Destruct, I believe. I can't remember off the top of my head.
I think it might be just Hardwired.
Is it?
Oh. I don't know, it might be.
Yeah, but that album.
Hardwired, it starts with.
Yeah, and to bring back that old Metallica sound and be number one on the Billboard 200 is absolutely incredible. And from what I'm hearing, they're playing a stadium tour this summer for, like, the first time in maybe like 10, 15 years since Summer Sanitarium happened.
Yep. Yeah, I was actually at that tour too. That was awesome, man. Yeah, it's really cool. Like I said, it's really cool to see bands kind of figure it out again. You almost lose hope, like Ronda Rousey in the UFC fight the other night.
Oh,
but,
my God.
You know, it's just like, you know, but it's cool to see comebacks. It's cool to see people fight back. You know what I mean? And I think Metallica's done it. I think Korn's doing it right now. And, you know, I hope there's a few other bands that I used to love begin to do it as well.
Yeah. Well, as long as, you know, it lies within, stays the normal route and evolves progressively instead of just going, you know, into like a alternative rock overnight, you know. Yeah, that would be interesting. Electronic country. That has been done before, right? I don't think anyone's done that.
Mainstream country music.
Well, it's not really electronic. Like, there's no real...
I'm just kidding.
Mixing EDM with country. There you go. I just gave you a $1 million idea.
It's the next hit. I'm sure it's already starting to happen.
Oh, yeah. There's some people down in Tennessee going, huh, I kind of like this. Basically, with music, almost everything's been done before, but not everyone has done it perfectly yet. So.
Correct.
Yeah, so I think this is a good time to wrap things up. So for everyone listening, obviously, check out the Facebook. We've mentioned it numerous fucking times already. Facebook.com/ItLiesWithin. For all your It Lies Within, I guess, information, just go to ItLiesWithin.com. You guys are also on Indiegogo. With your help, It Lies Within, get to Europe for a big tour opportunity. I think you just go to Indiegogo and just search It Lies Within, I'm guessing.
Yeah, yeah. Or definitely just check out the Facebook page. It's the first link. It's the first post.
Easy enough. It's the pinned post, people. All you have to do is just scroll down a smidge. Don't overshoot it. Just a little bit. Click on that. Donate. You can win a fucking TV. How fucking awesome is that? One of your favorite bands is giving away a TV, and if you have $1,000, a PlayStation 4. That's badass.
Yeah, yeah. You get, you know, like I said, there's so many cool perks, you know what I mean, that it's involved. And we're super thankful. We've actually had $1,000 donation from somebody. So it's just like, crazy that these bands are doing this. And we just want to give a big thank you to you guys for having us on the show. We want to give a thank you to all the fans and everybody listening. If you don't know who we are, again, please go check out on YouTube. It Lies Within right now. Stop what you're doing. I know you're on your phone or your computer. Go check out It Lies Within on YouTube right now. Go check it out. Thank you guys so much for having us.
Hell yeah. And if you're driving, just stick to this because we're actually going to play one of your songs closing out. So we were sent Starscream from your latest album, Paramount. Did you want to go with that to end out the interview?
Absolutely, absolutely. This is going to be one of my favorite tracks off the album Paramount. This is called Starscream.
There we go. You have a little bit of radio voice there. All right, Zachary. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate this.
I appreciate it, guys. You take care. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. You too.